Morning, everyone. I'm reading James 3:13-18. James 3:13-18. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteous is sown in the peace by those who make peace.
It's good to see everyone here this morning as we have come to worship God in spirit and in truth to learn more about what thus saith the Lord to help us in our lives as we continue to grow in the grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. When we consider the blessing of godly wisdom, I couldn't help but think about some of the words of our Lord. When he said on one occasion, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." I think about on one occasion when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he told them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Now I thought about the Apostle Paul, and how on two occasions he said to the Corinthians, one, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." And then he told the Ephesian brethren at one occasion, "Be ye followers of me as dear children." As I thought about that, I thought about wisdom. And I thought about how Jesus Christ, according to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:24, he is the power and the wisdom of God. We consider the very wisdom of God and we think about it embodying flesh. We think about the Christ and the great things that he has taught. The apostles being inspired by the Holy Spirit and the things that they taught and wrote and lived by. And it made me consider some of the things that I wanted to speak on this morning. And the reason why is because of the graduates that we have here. Of course, we have one that has graduated, probably two that graduated from college, and one from high school. And I thought about transitions and the transitions that we have in life. And that we have to transition from one point, one stage in life, to another. And it made me think about our dear brother, James, the half-brother of Jesus, and the words that he had to say that are apropos to what I believe that we need to be thinking about even in our day and time. And the reason being is because when we consider two types of wisdom, godly wisdom, earthly wisdom. We think of human wisdom and divine wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above and the wisdom that is down here below. And it made me consider the human wisdom. As the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:1-16, as he is doing battle, if you will, with the Corinthians, and how they wanted to rest upon the wisdom of mankind, the philosophies, if you will, to the point that the Apostle Paul would say that I did not come to you in excellencies of speech. In other words, I did not come to you in my own thought, my own wisdom, the wisdom of this age, but I came to you in the wisdom of God. We see that in 1 Corinthians 2:9-16. But I also thought about this wisdom, this idea of great thoughts, if you will. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, our great ancestor, if you will, in the Lord, had this to say, Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. And if you will, just bear with me just for a few minutes as we establish some type of groundwork. Here, we see Solomon saying to his son, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the beginning thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get an understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. We stop and we consider these great words. Look at verse number 9. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory or beauty she will deliver to you. You think about wisdom and how Solomon wanted to give his son wisdom, and what he desired out of his son was his son to listen to him. Listen to my words. Listen to the wisdom that I have. And rightfully so, for his father David was a wise man. As a matter of fact, on a few occasions in the Holy Scriptures, we find that David walked with God. He was a man after God's own heart, if you will. But then turn to the book of James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, we notice how wisdom is obtained. Wisdom is obtained a certain way. In James chapter 1, starting at verse number 5 here. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Meaning that he doesn't make fun of you because you ask, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, in trust, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. We stop and we consider, how do we obtain wisdom? We ask God. Well, is God just going to tell us through some verbal way? Of course not. He has left us his word. And this is why when we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, we can obtain that wisdom, that knowledge that is needed in order to live this life, to navigate, but to live precisely. And friends, we can. Graduates, we can live precisely. It is possible for us to live a life of precision. But what does that mean? It means that even when I make a mistake, because I have not walked in precision, I can walk in precision by making it right with God and the individuals in whom I wronged. It's possible. But then, take notice, when we consider what is godly wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge, intelligence, knowledge of things human and divine, acquired at times by difficulties in life circumstances, in life experiences. Intelligence gained through evidence discovered, skilled in the management of affairs. Listen to this. Wisdom is devout and proper judgment or good judgment dealing with mankind. And friends, we stop and we consider wisdom. All of us need wisdom in order not just to deal with one another, but to deal with those who don't have the religious mentalities of doing that which is moral and upright. But then take notice of James chapter 3. As was read in our hearing by our dear brother and fellow soldier in the Lord, notice what the Bible here says. Who is wise and understanding among you? Now notice this powerful question that James asks. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. I found it interesting, that word meekness. It's the idea of clemency, that one is directing his or her thoughts towards clemency. But what is clemency? Clemency is the idea of pardoning, to allow someone to go off, if you will. I thought about that as I was pondering some thoughts for this morning, and how at times in this life, because people don't have the wisdom that comes forth from above, they're not too quick to let people off. But God is. It's interesting that God is looking for a way to let people off that he might save them. Now that's interesting. That God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And when we stop and we consider that, God is meek. And we know he's meek because Jesus Christ said, "For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls." And when the Apostle Paul came to the Corinthians, he said, "I'm going to come to you in the spirit of the meekness of Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and verse 4, I believe it is. But then notice what he says in verse number 14, James 3. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not lie or boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom," now notice where this wisdom comes from. This wisdom does not descend, does not come down from above, but is earthly, it's sensual, it's demonic. "For where envy and self-seeking exist," now listen to this, graduates, listen to this, "confusion and every evil thing are there." Over the years, as I've pondered this passage, I often think, why is there strife? Why is there confusion? Why do we fight? Could it be because of the wisdom that's in our minds that we're applying at that time? At times in our lives, we apply the right wisdom as Christians. But sometimes when self-seeking is involved, when we want our way and we're willing to fight for it, and I'm not talking about God's way, standing up for truth, I'm talking about our way, we begin to cause confusion. For here, this wisdom is from beneath, does not descend from heaven. But then notice verse number 17. "But the wisdom that is from above," now notice the contrast. Here, he gives the wisdom that is down here upon the earth, the human wisdom, the wisdom that is among men. Now he contrasted it with the wisdom that is from above, from the heavenlies, from the divine. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now notice the wisdom that comes forth from above. The wisdom that comes forth from above is acceptable, if you will. The wisdom that is down here from below is unacceptable. We stop and we consider these things, friends, and it ought to put something in our minds to cause us to think. In verse number 18, notice, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Isn't it ironic that Jesus himself is our peace? Ephesians chapter 2. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Matthew chapter 5. God wants us to be a people of peace. But when we consider these things and consider the two types of wisdom, I want us to transition from here and go to back to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I just need you to stay with me because we're going somewhere with this. For if we understand wisdom, then it will teach us how to navigate in this life. Young men, young women, those who have just graduated, you want to make good decisions. You want to make decisions, number one, that bring honor and glory to God, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You want to make decisions that's going to help you in your future. For decisions that are made in your youth, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, can haunt you in your future if they're not good decisions. And so you want to make good decisions. You want to be able to have in your mind that I measure twice, cut once. Did you get that? I measure twice, cut once, meaning I think this through before I walk forward. We have too many in our world today, and it has always been the case that they do first, then think later. They talk first and then think later. But here we understand that wisdom that is from above wants to cut, measure twice, cut once. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 13, notice what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Do not be, here it is, wise in your own eyes. Now friends, we like that verse, but we don't like that verse. Because sometimes we talk ourselves into things we ain't got no business even thinking or doing. Sometimes we believe that our wisdom is better than others, sometimes better than God. And friends, this is nothing new. I remember in the time of Elijah, when there was a man who was instructed to dip into the Jordan 7 times. His wisdom was, aren't there some bodies of water? And then he named off those 3 bodies of water better than the River Jordan. That was his wisdom. That wasn't God's. And friends, we stop and we consider the wisdom that comes forth from above, which means that we don't walk according to our own understanding. We're not wise in our own eyes. But notice what he says in verse number 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Listen to this. And your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Put Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 9 there. Nor detest his correction. It is good when God corrects us. No wonder the preacher is to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. In that reproving, in that rebuking, in that exhorting, he is actually demonstrating the chastisement of the Lord. And the reason why is because God loves those who he corrects. And so when we stand in judgment of God and God wants to correct us, we ought to sit back. And even though it might not be pleasurable, we ought to sit back and say, Father, thank you for loving me enough to correct me, to not leave me hanging out there, if you will. Verse 12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Friends, don't let the world tell you that you shouldn't correct your children. You correct them. Why? Because when you correct them, the Hebrews writer says, then you will be a partaker of his holiness. That's why God corrects us. He wants us to be a partaker of his holiness. But look at verse number 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. So we stop and we consider, why wisdom? Why should I want wisdom? Is there any value to wisdom? It's great value in wisdom. Job would say that God is the very source of wisdom, Job 36 and verse number 5. And wisdom is far above rubies as in its value. Turn to Proverbs, look at verse number, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Look at that. Here we understand that the fear of the Lord is, and the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. He's the source of wisdom. The wisdom that we desire comes from above, comes from God. But friends, you can't obtain wisdom if you don't read the Word of God. You can't obtain wisdom if you're not in prayer and meditation. You can't obtain wisdom by reading other sources, other books. We have to go to the very mind of God. And so here we see, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. God made us upright. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly, literally in their integrity. It is all right, young people, to do what is right. It is all right to do right even when no one is looking. It is all right to be faithful to your spouse, even though she don't know everything that you're doing. Even though he doesn't know everything that you're doing. It is all right to be a man or a woman of integrity. That wisdom comes from above. And so when we stop and we consider, even our young people, as you go out into this world and you transition, it is all right to do what is right. And even when everyone else could be seemingly doing that which is kind of off-colored, if you will. Maybe off, maybe wrong, or totally wrong. It is all right for you to say, I'm staying home. That is okay. But sometimes we give in to that. One brother said on one occasion, I thought it was pretty good, be careful when you sow wild oats, they leave scars. Wild oats leave scars. Be careful. Notice what he says in verse number 8. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speak perverse things. For those who leave the path of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their path, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress one who flatters with her words. What will wisdom do? It will actually protect us. Could it be that Job was a man that walked in his integrity? Could it be that that hedge that he had around him was the actual wisdom of God? That he was able to take in the very words of God, think upon them, understand them, meditate upon them, and yea, apply them. Where do most people get in trouble? When they don't apply the word of God. Look at Job chapter 28. We just discussed Job. Now, let's go ahead and read some things from the book of Job. In Job 28, we take notice, verses 12 through 18. I know we are doing a lot of reading this morning. But in this transition period, especially with our young people, and possibly for some of us, we need as much ammunition that we possibly can get in order to be successful in this life. I believe that most of the mistakes that I made as a young man wasn't because I wasn't taught. It was because I rebelled against it. And in some cases, there's some things I just didn't know. And friends, many will say ignorance is bliss, but ignorance is not good always. And at any time you don't know, don't act like you know. Find out before you go forward. In Job 28, verse 12 and following. Now notice, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value. Now, did you hear that? Man does not know its value, the value of wisdom. Nor is it found in the land of the living. Notice what the Bible here says. It amazes me when I was looking at this, like, wow. And things haven't changed even today. The deep, meaning the oceans, the bodies of water say, it's not in me. And the seas say, it's not in me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in the precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Friends, it's nothing on this earth. I don't care what you got. Nothing is more valuable than the very wisdom that came from God. Sometimes men put their trust and concepts and ideas and wisdom and the things that they have. But truth be told, wisdom comes from God. You want to be successful? Know God. Mike, you want to be successful? Stay with God. You want to be unsuccessful? Get away from him in any degree and you'll see. Now that's interesting, because even the smallest of mistakes in the weakest moments of life can cost you great dividends, right? We've been there. Some of us who are older, we've been there. And we rationalize in our mind, well, I'm human. That's true. But that's not an excuse. And the reason why, friends, is because God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Here it is, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we stop and we consider wisdom, that which comes forth from above. We have to ask ourselves, where are we searching our answers from? Solomon would say that wisdom is far above rubies. In Proverbs 16:16, he says that it's better than fine gold. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 16 and 18, that wisdom is more valuable than strength and weapons of war. Now, that's interesting right there. That if I can just obtain wisdom, my family life will enhance, my marriage will get better, my dealings with mankind, yea, even enemies, will flourish. I will keep myself from things that God wouldn't want me to be involved in. In Ephesians chapter 5, notice what the Apostle Paul would say to the brethren there in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? The days are evil. They're still evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Three things we see. Walk circumspectly. Number two, redeem the time, meaning know what's going on around you. And number three, know God's will. And you can know all three of them. So, the blessing of wisdom, it is a blessing. But let me tell you what's not a blessing. When you don't know the wisdom of God. And people are walking according to their own understanding every single day. And they equate their wisdom with the wisdom of God. Well, this is what I think. Or they go to the philosophies of men. And Paul dealt with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputers of this age? In essence, he said, bring all of the wisdom that you got. And bring it to me and watch me with the word of God denounce the wisdom of man, and the right heart will say, I would rather go to with the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of man. But that's not always easy. Because sometimes the wisdom of man is very appealing. But here it is. The wisdom of man is easier. It takes great maturity and great practice to exercise the wisdom of God. Did you hear that? The lazy man don't want to do the wisdom of God. He takes the road that's less resistance, if you will. But the man of God, the woman of God says, I'm going to walk in the light as he is in the light. I'm going to walk that narrow way, which is congested and sometimes difficult and hard. But there's something at the end of that narrow way. It's called life. So it doesn't matter what comes my way, as long as I'm walking in the light and walking circumspectly and walking in wisdom, especially among those who are without, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. My life will be the better. Young people, it's going to be all right if you stay with the wisdom of God. Stay with God's wisdom. Number two, the wisdom of God and wise behavior. In Psalm 101 and verse number 2, the psalmist, who may be the sweet singer of Israel, David. Nevertheless, the psalmist said that I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And it made me think about something. I don't have time to really look real closely into all of these, but put these in your notes. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5, verse 14 and 15, and verse 30, we come across David. And David, of course, being the sweet singer of Israel, a man after God's own heart, he was one that trusted God. Now, here's the point. On all four of these occasions, if you will, we find David walking wisely. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he behaved himself wisely. On one occasion, the Bible says that he behaved himself very wisely. Now, thought about that. Wise behavior? That's a novel idea, right? God wants us to be a people who act and behave wisely. In the midst of David being pursued by Saul, he behaved himself wisely. Even when there was peace between Saul and David, he behaved himself wisely. Which told me something. That it doesn't matter whether if someone is your enemy or not. Whether times are good or not. Whether life is difficult or not. God wants us to behave ourselves wisely. Now that's interesting. Because the pulpit is designed to not only instruct and not only to develop, but to cultivate and enhance moral living. That's what the pulpit is designed for. It is designed to help the child of God to realize that God is the standard, and I go to Him because He is the one that has the answers, and I don't have the answers, and when I submit to His word, His instruction, His answers, my life is the better because of it, regardless if my life is taken for it or not. I thought about that. God wants us to behave ourselves wisely, to act in good behavior. And it made me think about Proverbs 1 and verse number 7. Fearing God will result in a fearful life. Did you get that, friends? Fearing God will result in a fearful life. It doesn't mean that you're timid of God. It doesn't mean that you're hiding behind a rock with God. It means that you are reverent toward God. You respect God. And friends, you can tell a lot about yourself during difficult times when or if you respect God or not. In 1 John 4, verse number 18 rather, fearing God is the only way to properly rid the fear of the devil or man, for perfect love casts out all fear. Let me make this little one point under this. Be careful. Be careful when men try to oppress you and put fear in your heart. Be careful if you're one of those type of people. Did you hear me? Be careful. Perfect love casts out fear. Mike, be careful. Young people, be careful. We live in a very harsh society in the case of bullying. I have teachers in here. Y'all know about that. And you have these students who are trying to bully other students to the point that it's driving them off the deep end to rather kill themselves or go into the school and kill everybody else. Because they're trying to oppress, trying to put fear in the hearts of other people, students. That's not our job. We're not supposed to do that. Walking in wisdom, that which is from above, if anything, we're trying to help people to have a better life, to think clearer, to be a people of maturation and development, so they can be the best people that they can be. In essence, we are God's moral culture in the midst of this immoral world, and we're actually helping people to be Christ-like, and Christ didn't go around trying to bully people. It made me think about fearing God is the only way to properly rid the fear of the devil or man. Therefore, perfect love casts out fear. I'll end with these. Wisdom has great benefits and blessings. Seven of them. Number one, it wards off pride and contentions. Proverbs 13:10. Number two, it demonstrates that you love your own soul. Proverbs 19:8. Number three, it causes a child to be pleasing to their parents and causes them to rejoice. Proverbs 29, verse 3. Number four, wisdom is a defense and life to the one who has it. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 12. Number five, it aids in having a great marriage and family. Ephesians 5, the whole chapter. Number 6, it guides in the midst of turbulent times, Acts 5, during the time of the apostles praying because of being beaten by the Sanhedrin. And last but not least, it shows the way when spiritually lost and looking for the right way religiously. Acts 8, verses 34 through the end of the chapter. I said all that to say this. When we consider the wisdom from above, we have to go to the Word of God in order to obtain that wisdom. But it takes time, it takes work, it takes humility, it takes effort. It takes you cutting the television off. It takes you detaching yourself from things that occupy too much of your time to obtain wisdom. And Brother Raphael, as much as I study, sometimes I still don't understand what God is saying. Can you imagine if you don't study? Can you imagine if you don't read? And friends, I'm not being ugly or mean. I'm telling you what people tell me. Hey, how often do you read the Bible? I don't. I get scared, and I get scared real fast because they're already telling me I'm walking the way that I want to walk, even though they haven't said it. Well, I think the law meant this, but what did he say? So we stay with the law of God, and we study to show ourselves approved. And we're like what Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but there are they that testify, Jesus said, of me. So when you read the Word of God, you're reading about God. And you're reading about Jesus. And you're reading about the kingdom of God. And you're reading about the church of Christ. And you're reading about how to live in the body of Christ. And unfortunately, even as members of the Lord's people, we cower down to those who don't even read the Word of God. And we say, well, maybe you got a point. That's the wisdom of man. Let's stay with what God's words say. Let's get into the Word of God and let's read and let's study and let's apply it to our lives. So we're able to see the end at the beginning. I'll leave you with one verse and one verse only. Then I'll give the invitation. Paul would say this, Romans 15:4. The things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The reason why I leave you with that verse is that when you go back and you read those things that God had left us in his word in the Old Testament, you can't help but to stay out of trouble. You can't help but to stay out of trouble. You can't help but to make good decisions. And it's all right to take your time and tell people who want to rush off and do things quickly, hold up. I haven't studied that yet. It's okay. I've been stewing on something for about 3 or 4 days now. And I still haven't received the answer in the Word of God. I'm searching. I haven't found that answer, Mike. And I ain't going to say nothing. And I ain't going to do nothing until I find the answer. And when I find the answer, then I'm going to walk. And I'm going to walk with some confidence. Why? Because I got God with me. But if I get in front of God, them bullets hurt. And brethren will make sure that they hurt. The world will make sure that they hurt. But if you stay behind God, he's the shield. He's the wisdom. He's the life. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll let you go. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the day. We're thankful for your word, your wisdom, which guides us, strengthens us, it helps us. Father, at times we walk according to our own understanding because we think we're smarter. We got this. Until we find ourselves flat on our back. We hope, pray, and trust, dear Father, that when we find ourselves on our back, that we'll truly get to see you for who you are. And Father, help us to encourage one another. Be with our young people as they transition, whether from college or high school, that they'll make good decisions, godly decisions, upright decisions, moral decisions, pleasant decisions according to thy word.
We know, Father, that your way is truth, and you're all about truth. And if anything is wrong, if anything is shady, if anything is off, if anything is sinful, it's not from you. So help us, dear Father, to be a people of righteousness, that our feet can be walking in the ways of truth. We love you, Father. We ask that you help us to walk in wisdom, especially among those who are without. And help us build up one another in the most holy faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. The wisdom of God teaches that when a person has a desire to please God and come out of their sinful lifestyle, that you have to obey the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. And inspiration teaches us that one has to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And inspiration teaches us that one needs to repent of their sins, Luke 13:3. And that one must confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. And then one must be baptized in water for the remission of his sins, Acts 2:38. And inspiration teaches us that one must be faithful, even to the point of death, Revelation 2:10. And in that faithfulness, God will give them the crown of life that doesn't fade away. Question, is that what you want? Do you want to live with God throughout eternity? If that's what you want and you're not in Christ, let us study with you. Let us help you with that. But maybe you're a child of God. You've been walking according to your own wisdom. Doesn't matter what topic, what subject, what area. You've been doing your thing. This is what you think. This is what you believe. Question, if your belief is not based upon the word of God accurately interpreted, then there's no belief at all. Because the belief that God wants us to have must come from that word. Comes from his mouth. Comes from his mind. As we stand and as we sing our dear Savior's invitation.